Hello, this is Pastor Becca Bateman of Doylestown Presbyterian Church. As our podcast audience continues to grow, I want to thank our loyal listeners and welcome those who may have just recently found us. We know that life can quickly become so busy, so this podcast offers an on-the-go opportunity to hear Sunday's sermon, along with a scripture lesson from that day's lay leader or preacher. We also encourage you to visit our website at dtownpc.org to learn more about our church and all the diverse ministries. Thank you for tuning in.
Our lessons this morning are found in three different places, but there's a common thread. Don't try to follow along, it'll get confusing. Just trust me. Throughout this Lenten season, it's been a time to take a pause and do some self-reflection, to look at our lives and to ask if we are on the path that we want to be on with our lives. And so we started with three names that are sort of just mentioned briefly and then moved off the pages of Scripture, and we don't know much about them. But the good news is, if you ever appear on Jeopardy and the category comes up, unknown biblical names, you go ahead and hit the buzzer. The question is, who was the one that often refreshed Paul? You just say, Onesiphorus. They say, who was the third son of Adam? You say, Seth. And if they say, who was the young woman who broke up the prayer meeting and was called crazy? You say, it was Rhoda. Today we look at Demas. His story is quite a bit different. We first meet Demas as he is introduced to us in the book of Philemon. Paul gives him a warm introduction to us. Paul writes, Demas and Luke, fellow workers. And then when you turn to Colossians, there's a little mood change. And Paul writes, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas. By the time you get to 2 Timothy, things have really changed. Let me read for you from that chapter, the fourth chapter. Paul writes, the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but to also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me. This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me, please. Oh, gracious God, we thank you that we can be together again in this place to worship you. We ask that you would quiet in us every voice but your own. Amen. Do you remember Demas? And if you do remember Demas, what do you remember about Demas? And how is Demas remembered? Which, of course, begs the question, how are you going to be remembered? And how am I going to be remembered? As I said earlier, Demas is introduced in Philemon. At that time, it's a warm introduction, a fellow worker with Paul. In Colossians, it's simply Demas. By 2 Timothy, it's Demas who fell in love with this world has deserted me. That's the story of the life of Demas. That's all there is. Demas, my fellow worker, Demas. Demas, who fell in love with this world, has deserted me. It's a sad ending to what was a promising start. That's how we remember Demas. How do you want to be remembered? By those who know you. Those who really know you. How do you want to be remembered by those you have loved and all those who have loved you? Those who have seen you at your best, not just dressed up in your Sunday best. How have they seen you also at your worst? How do you want to be remembered? Now, before you start to think about all the awards, achievements, degrees, and diplomas, before you start to list all the boards that you served on, or how busy and important you are at the church, look a little deeper into your life. How do those who know you best will remember you? It's a pressing question, and one that we should ask ourselves, especially during this, the season of Lent. I've come to discover over the years that it's always the little things that make a difference. It's always those little things that at the moment seem so insignificant, but over time take on eternal significance. Over the years, I've learned when I meet with a family that has lost a loved one, and we plan a service, I ask them, tell me some words or stories about your loved one. And you know what they do? They recapture the little things of life. The storyline goes back to those moments, unexpected moments of kindness, moments and gestures of love. They remember all of the things we took for granted, but now we hold dear to our hearts. Little things that make a difference on how we will be remembered. Now, in our household, everyone knows I'm not romantic. I'm not proud of that. It's just the truth. And there's documentation to prove it. When Karina and I were married, like many of you, we didn't have 2 cents to rub against each other. But we saved a little bit. And so for our honeymoon, we went to this wonderful hotel in the mountains. On Sunday afternoon, I said, Corrine, let's take a drive. It's so beautiful outside. And as we were driving, I said, oh, look, there's St. Vincent's College. I've always heard of it. Let's drive and let's sort of just walk around the campus. Now, some of you may know that the Pittsburgh Steelers have their training camp at St. Vincent's College. And so we arrived, and there they were. And I said, oh my, look, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't believe she bought my surprise. I spent 50 years living with that, but I took her on a nice trip to Paris on our 50th. But you know what she remembers and what touches her? Are a bunch of little things. I've learned that over the years. There was this marvelous book that I use when I counsel couples. It's called The Language of Love, Love Languages. And it's how people hear love different ways. And so during this time of the year, I keep my eyes open for those little yellow marshmallow peeps. I don't like them at all, but Corrine loves them. And so when I see them at the beginning of the Lenten season, I buy a package immediately before anyone else, and I go home and I put it on her pillow. And when she sees it, she smiles and gives me a hug. Because in the language of love, a little thing, it meant I was thinking about you today. I was thinking about peeps, but she was speaking about love. A little thing that she remembers. I wonder, what are all the little things that you have done and want to do today and tomorrow and for the rest of your tomorrows? What are all the little things, those gestures of love, that will help tell your story of who you truly were and how you are to be remembered? Just little stories. Now, we realize that you receive a lot of emails, and on Friday we send you an email that has my sermon blurb or teaser in it. I didn't think anyone bothered to look at those, but one of you said to me, "I enjoy your sermon teasers." Well, I'm going to have to pay more attention to what I write. And she said, "What's the one about this week? What do you and Demas and Billy Graham's little sister have in common? What you have in common is that someday those who have loved you will look back and remember the storyline of your life." Paul writes that the storyline for Demas ends sadly. But I also read a storyline of Billy Graham's little sister, the great evangelist. He grew up in Charlotte, and I think I mentioned to you in the past, I spent 27 years in Charlotte, and we moved from North Carolina to New Jersey. And every time I met someone and told them I moved from North Carolina to New Jersey, I got this puzzled look. And they said, "Why?" Billy Graham, his hometown, Charlotte, he grew up in a little church in Dilworth, an ARP congregation. It stands for Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. One of the things that made them unique is they didn't sing hymns, they would only sing psalms. So Billy Graham was ARP. And he would always say, "ARP means a real Presbyterian." He grew up on a dairy farm. A brother and two sisters. They always said, Billy never milked a cow in his life. He was closest to his youngest sister, his little sister, Jean. Jean contracted polio when she was 11. She spent her 12th birthday in the hospital, and everyone was concerned. But she survived. And some of the impact of that had its effect on her. She always had a very hard time swallowing and sometimes speaking. She also had a challenge to her faith when she and her husband, Leighton Ford, lost their 21-year-old son on an operating table. She said, I believe I spent that whole year in tears until there were no more tears left to cry. And she said, it was at that time I searched myself and I said, either God is good or there is no God. Well, she believed that despite everything, God is good. Those who knew her best often would chuckle at some of her stories, like the time when she received this notable award for being an outstanding woman. She was surprised, and when she got up to receive the award, she simply said, if I knew I was going to win this, I would have worn nicer shoes. And she sat down. Those who also knew her best said she spent her life mourning the loss of that child. She never truly got over it. No one really does. But they said, even though her spirit was wounded, she kept on believing, hoping, and trusting in the goodness of God all the way to the very end. And they said her life was like a gentle flowing stream, faithful to the end. That almost sounds like what Paul said. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. I hope that is how I am remembered. What about you? Amen and amen.
Thank you again for joining us today. Once again, I invite you to check out dtownpc.org for information about our worship and programming for all ages.